BBC Six Music podcasts. Six Music. This is a free download from the BBC. Find out more at bbc.co.uk/sixmusic. And now,
John Richardson.
Hello, pod friends. Is that original? I bet someone calls their audience pod friends, don't they?
We do now.
Yeah, but I bet it's been done before. Anyway, I apologise if that's plagiarism.
Pod pickers.
Pod pickers.
What?
That's nice. That's good.
It sounds like people who go getting magic mushrooms.
Well, you know, they used to just pod pickers, isn't it? It's a play on that.
Oh, right. Oh, I didn't know.
Hello,
that.
Pod pickers. Should we start that and see if anyone complains?
Yeah. That's yeah. Okay.
Pod pickers.
Hello, pod pickers. That's good. Producer Adam banging in the goods and picked
sounds
an amazing
like sort of
track for the show today. I mean, it's not been anywhere on the podcast, but I recommend you go to listen again and have a listen to one of the tracks we played today. Absolutely stunning.
All right.
First half hour, wasn't it? First half hour.
Spanking.
Anyway, hello. Should I do it in a voice?
Yeah, go on.
I don't want to do the g'day, pod pickers. That works out.
What's
right,
that, South
it?
African?
I bet you someone else does that. We'll get an email from, like, you know, Dale Winton's PR or something.
Tony Blackburn.
Saying he's copyright. I bet someone who doesn't even a podcast. You know, when someone buys your URL for a website. I bet, like, Chris Youvepanks bought Pod Pickers. And we'll get a letter from him. Oh, excuse me. Or however he talks.
Because he types with a lisp.
Hey, welcome to this week's podcast. All right, show today. Yeah, funny, wasn't it?
Cracker.
Highlights
mate.
Coming up. What we've done, we've cut out the rubbish bits, haven't we?
Yeah, there's about 5 minutes.
Bit when you started crying, talk that out.
I didn't cry.
Bit when you just walked in and licked Colin Holt's face and then walked out again.
He liked it.
Bit weird, talk
tasted
that out.
Tasted nice. Tasted nuts.
But the funny bits are in. I was with Colin Holt, whose Edinburgh show was one of the finest I've seen this year. We had a bit of a chat. Al Pitcher, finally.
Much in the flesh.
Live, not from Shanghai or Dubai or any of that.
Wherever nonsense. Else he pretends to be.
Live from SW1 or wherever we are.
Live in the flesh. Live flesh as well, he got it out.
W1. He did get his chest out, he did. That was an actual highlight. The thing with these bits now, everyone's just thinking, come on, give us the pod joke.
Oh, yeah,
mucking
sure.
About.
Soz.
So as usual, part one, I'll give you some of the also rans and also a very important announcement first. Elliot Lyne in Coventry.
Hello, Elliot.
Hey, John. Thanks for telling my Alp Itcher joke on last week's podcast.
Yeah, excellent.
Unfortunately, my delight at hearing you read my joke was tempered by the fact that you didn't give me the credit. Forgot to read his name, didn't I? What a bad man. Please, could you tell it again next week when Alp Itcher is in the studio and remember to mention my name? I've let him down because I didn't tell the joke either. But I will mention your name, Elliot Lyne from Coventry.
Elliot, this is now, you've got far more discussion out of your name. You've had two bites of the cherry. I'm still talking about you now, so I'm going to stop, Elliot.
Yep.
Satisfied?
So, here we go. Two also rants before we go into this week's setup. These are the ones that didn't make it to the actual pod joke. Tim from Porthcawl. What do you call a man who wraps meat around himself?
A legend.
Kev in bacon.
Oh!
Kev in bacon.
Excellent.
Didn't put that one through for the actual pod joke, just because the Kev bit
it's
is,
really
you know,
though.
It's just like my mate. But it's good. He also sends in an unrelated one. What do you call a German man who's always on the phone?
Good.
Hands free.
Not bad.
Not bad.
That's excellent.
Yeah. Also didn't make it through. Scott in Melbourne. What do you call an actor who was previously in Baywatch but now has his own cleaning business?
Good.
Dustin Hoffman. Hoff. David Hasselhoff. Yeah. Known as the Hoffman.
Oh, okay.
Just don't stare at me, mate. I didn't write it.
It's just that because Dustin Hoffman wasn't in Baywatch, that's the problem with that joke.
Oh, yeah. But it's part of the setup, isn't it? We also had easily the most tenuous setup ever to a pod joke, I think. What do you call a woman who serves drinks from her underwear whilst winning second prize in a carpenter's raffle?
My missus.
Barbara Winsor.
Oh, hang on, do that again. What do you call a woman that...
What do you call a woman who serves drinks, bar, from her underwear, bra, bar bra, whilst winning second prize win in a carpenter's raffle, saw.
Barbara oh, my word, that is...
Luke Robson from Red Hill. But anyway, here are the pod jokes. I'll give you a set-up, see if Fordy can work them out before the end. One comes from Carl. How do you offer a cigarette, it's a variation on the theme, to a sexually excited clothmaker? How do you offer a cigarette to a sexually excited clothmaker? And the other pod joke we're going for is from Chris. What do you call a man with an insect on his back? What do you call a man with an insect on his back? Answers coming up, but now this week's podcast.
John Richardson. BBC Six Music.
If you're wondering what's coming up, well, I'll tell you what isn't coming up. With the expenses scandal back in the papers, I'm delighted to say that we will not be even casting a slight eye over Gordon Brown's claims and asking what should be paid back. Head of the release of his book, Chris Evans isn't in the studio. It's exciting, isn't it? Not going to be here. And ahead of the X Factor sexuality row, I'm pleased to say that this show will not be touching that with a 50-foot barge pole. My good news, I've trawled back through my week, and the best I can come up with is that I finally did all my washing up this week. Had a day off yesterday, ploughed through it. We're talking some stuff, since this is going to be disgusting, because my whole thing is the sort of, you know, slightly compulsive tendencies. I think some of it was from July.
No.
Some of it was pre-Edinburgh Festival.
Does your mother know?
She does now, yeah, she'll be listening. Yeah, finally, it's just difficult, isn't it? I mean, I've literally eaten out of everything. I've eaten cereal out of a fondue set. I've eaten out of baking trays. I've eaten out of mixing bowls. I've literally done the whole lot. But yesterday, cracked through it, put a Family Guy DVD on the portable DVD player on the windowsill, just knuckled down. So, I mean, that's the best news in my life. I did a gig this week. I had to follow Jin the Dancing Dog from Britain's Got Talent. Not an easy task, I'm going to tell you. When you followed a dog that can moonwalk, to go out and tell an anecdote about something that happened on the underground is no mean feat. This is a good one to get us into the good deeds. Hello, John. A couple of weeks ago, I emailed you about trying to do the Week of Good Deeds, but I failed in Inverness. Last week, I was on holiday in Oxford, where I used to live, so I did a Week of Good Deeds there. Never had someone do it twice before. I'm glad to say that this time I succeeded. Oxford wanted help and I gave it to them. But the main focus point of the week was that by telling somebody I loved them, I now go out with a girl that I've liked for over a year. Thank you, John. Thank you, Oxford. Love to your mothers, Mark T. This is a show that spreads love. I'm like Cilla Black, but with a slightly more irritating voice. Every week I say I'm now joined by my guest, and then I say the name, and then there's no cheer. I'm going to do something a bit different this week. Fee-fi-fo-fum, I smell Colin Holt. No, that doesn't really work, does
Colin
it?
Colin Holtz?
No.
No.
No, I just say, hi, Colin Holt.
Hey.
How are you?
How's it going, buddy?
I'm very well. Thanks for coming in.
That's all right.
I complimented you earlier on the thing where I say what's coming up.
Yeah.
I said nice things about your show.
Oh, did you?
And now what? I want to reiterate them to say that I liked your show.
Right.
But I don't want to say it too much because it's awkward then, isn't it?
I don't mind.
A bit weird. It was one of the best things I saw in Edinburgh.
Really?
Yeah.
Would you say it was the best thing you saw in Edinburgh?
I don't know. I think you're probably tied first with the play about Eric Morecambe.
Oh, really?
But very different things.
I didn't
things.
See that. Yeah. Very different.
Chalk and cheese, can't really compare them. Explain to people some of the characters. There was one called Crow-Faced Pike.
There was Wheelie Mancrow.
Wheelie Mancrow.
I mean, I don't want to spoil too much because obviously that's quite a shocking moment, isn't it?
It is a big.
But he's a man in a mask.
Yeah.
Who he doesn't really say a lot. It's quite nice to create a character who has one line that they say about 80 times. So that was easy, really. It was partly based on my brother.
Okay.
Who I'm not sure if I should say this because it's never really been spoken about, and I'm slightly wondering whether it's a dream that I had as a child, but I believe that he once stole a tricycle.
What sort of thing did you check with him?
Around 30, which is what I am now. He's quite a bit older than me, and drove around
town on it.
Town on it. This is
Have you
a
got
thing.
His mobile number? Can we clear this up?
He doesn't know how to answer mobile. He's quite an odd man, hence the stealing of the tricycle. he's a lovely man, a very funny man.
I think
some of my great sense of humour has come from
him.
Okay,
but a bit of a tea leaf.
But with mine, it's more deliberate, perhaps.
Yeah,
but,
yes.
But that's where the tricycle man comes
from. First of all, I'd like you to go through good deeds that people have done. Are you a benevolent chap?
I like to be.
Yeah.
I try to be.
Don't we all?
But I rarely am.
I know you're a happily married man now, aren't you?
Yeah, I am, yeah. And you are, aren't you?
No. I've done my washing up.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, good for you.
Got through it. It's the same thing, isn't it? It's a sort of long-term.
It's similar. I did washing up last night
long-term.
While the X Factor was on.
Yeah. We've spoken about that
tens times,
isn't it? Tens times. Anyone from your past that you were really glad that you don't go out with anymore? You don't have to go into name details, obviously. I'll give you the kind of thing we're looking for. MJ, I once went out with a guy who did nothing but compliment me. It sounds heavenly, but after a while, I just wanted him to grow a pair and take the mick. Clearly the secret to a healthy relationship. Yeah. Grow a pair and take them
so
out.
So that's she wanted him to be nasty.
Yeah, he was a nice guy. Oh, fits
nice
in
guy
with,
and she wanted him to be nasty.
Fits in with doing bad things, doesn't
it's
it?
It's so difficult, isn't it? Mm. When you've got that pressure on you to be evil.
I know. And there's so many women out there saying, I went with a man who would not stop taking the mick. And yeah. Actually just give me a compliment and he
yeah.
wouldn't.
So many people that not... Actually, I read a Batman story the other day.
Right.
Where the Joker killed Batman.
No.
Or thought he had. He thought he killed Batman.
You've got to clear that up first. People then.
All right, yeah. Well, that was... Well, I
ears
thought he had when I, until I turned the page and realised some kids found Batman and he was still breathing.
Oh.
Thank
Tricksy
God.
Tricksy old Batman.
Crikey. But he...
It's
he,
like James Bond.
Exactly. Well, he can't die.
Well, so you think.
Joker.
Yeah.
Thought he killed Batman, had no reason to be evil.
Yeah.
Became sane.
Wow.
Met a woman, settled down. It was a very strange story. And she was someone who had always had horrible men. And suddenly there was this really nice guy who loved old comedies like Charlie Chaplin. It was a really weird story.
Did he still call himself the Joker?
No, he called himself Joker. Joseph Kerr.
Where do they get their ideas?
Yeah, it was very weird. He went sane and he forgot that he'd ever been the Joker. And he sort of got plastic surgery.
Wow.
So he sorted his face out.
And then Batman came back.
Batman turned up and he went, and he suddenly remembered and lost it.
I lost it again.
And
that
went crazy.
That would have been a good
again.
Story. If in thinking that he'd killed Batman, ironically killed himself.
Yeah.
That would have been good,
well,
wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But then he came
but
back.
He had this chance for redemption, I suppose, and he blew it.
Mm. Would have been better if he hadn't called himself Joker anymore. If
Joker,
he called himself,
yeah.
Like, says perfectly Chris. Acceptable yeah. things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or just me like Chris Martin.
Chris Martin, not the first name. It's horrible when your brain does that too, isn't it? Just think of a name that isn't a famous person. Think of a name, not Chris Martin.
But funnily enough, I wasn't thinking of the...
You were thinking of the comedian
yeah,
Chris
Yeah, I was.
Martin.
That's
so
weird.
You failed on two counts, really,
yeah.
didn't you? Two Chris Martins that you know. Dean... No, I can't do it either. I was going to say Dean Saunders.
Who's Dean? Is that...
Famous Welsh footballer.
Right.
One of the top five goal scorers
for
Wembley.
Now I'm thinking Dean Martin.
Think of a name that isn't a famous person.
Okay.
Barry... White Humphrey. Manilow, oh. They're famous.
Barry Bridges.
Barry Bridges, there we go. That's the joke.
There's never been
it?
A Barry Bridges.
No. Someone will text in now going, excuse me, have you know Barry Bridges was a famous soul artist?
I think you'll find.
Wikipedia says Barry John Bridges, born 29th of April 1941, is a former English footballer.
Oh.
Bridges was signed by Chelsea, having been spotted whilst playing for Norwich and Norfolk Boys.
Mm.
I don't think he was at Chelsea in the Abramovich era. I think it was probably before that. I don't think he was like a £10 billion signing. Bridges, senior career, played for Chelsea, Birmingham, Queen's Park Rangers, Millwall, Brighton and Hove Albion, Highlands Park, St Patrick's Athletic, Sligo Rovers, four caps for England.
Everyone.
Went on to manage.
He did the tour.
Managed four teams.
Blimey. I mean, and we'd never heard of him.
Well, you know...
I hope we haven't burnt our bridges.
Oh, lovely, ooh. Lovely. But now we've stumbled on the game, trying to think of a name of someone who isn't famous. Keith Porter. There's no way he's famous. Keith Porter. Never done anything. Live results coming through.
There is...
Canadian cell biologist.
Canadian cell, but now...
That's all right. That's a win, I think.
Unless he invented the cell. Which I don't think
pioneering
he did.
Pioneering biology research.
That's not going to help anyone.
No.
That's not like a quiz show, is it?
Yeah.
Or a footballer.
Or a politician. Don't get me started with their expenses claims. Let's leave the relationship stuff off. Let's get into these good deeds. Otherwise, we'll be here all
yes,
morning.
Yes, let's
Colin,
do the good deeds.
Chatting about people who aren't famous.
Okay.
Right. Let's start at the very beginning.
Alex Rogers. I just want to put Alex Rogers out there.
You don't think he's famous?
Just
let that bubble under. What if, it's one of those, like they say in poker, bet your hand so you don't give it time to get beaten. What if, in the time we go through the good deeds, he's become famous?
Alex Rogers.
You'd be furious, wouldn't you, if Alex Rogers wasn't famous at 11, but he makes his TV debut at 11:09.
Wow.
Plays for Quins.
Yeah.
Is that enough?
He's a prop.
He is in this show.
He plays as a prop. Okay, well, that's good. I'm 30. Is it too late to take up rugby at 30?
No, that's the beauty of rugby.
I can't catch or throw a ball.
There are professional rugby players who are 63.
Really?
That is a fact.
And they started when they were 60.
Yeah, exactly. They just found they had a skill for it.
Yeah.
They've been doing other stuff, got on a rugby pitch, just loved it, being around with all the men, like grinding.
Well, what does it take, really? Just confidence. It's just about, it's like X Factor. It's just about going out there and believing in yourself.
Yes.
The rest will follow.
Yes. That, I mean, that's not...
Get on the field.
Floor.
The floor.
Yeah.
Get on the dance... Is it a dance floor? It's not called a dance floor,
just
is it?
Just carry on with the analogy, though. I'm liking it.
Okay, get on the dance floor. Show your moves.
Yes.
If the ladies, i.e. the other team members,
yes.
like it...
Yes.
They'll come to you.
Yeah. And who's the DJ in this? Before the manager, you know, the coach?
DJ is... No, I think the DJ is the crowd.
A DJ is the crowd.
Because ultimately, you're performing for them.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, I after a life in the theatre, I can only see anything in such terms.
Yeah.
And you're performing for them, really, aren't you?
You are, but you're not really... When you dance in a nightclub, you're not really dancing for the DJ, are you? Unless you do it to make him feel better, because no one else
actually is
dancing.
You're dancing for the other players.
There are
sometimes for the ladies.
When a DJ puts a track on and the floor empties and you think, I better go and have a little wiggle.
Yeah.
He looks a bit upset.
Yeah.
I'm implying that I go to nightclubs. I don't ever go to nightclubs.
When did you last go to a nightclub?
Oh, would have been at least... Four years.
Wow.
No, maybe not that
much. I think it probably is that much for me. The Cookie Club in Nottingham.
The Cookie Club in Nottingham, was it?
I think Indie Night.
I'll tell you what, actually, it's probably in the last couple of years. I tend to, when we go back home for Christmas, catch up with the mates, we always end up in a nightclub, because obviously, you know, I'm
feeling quite
there.
Old.
Well, you just get people saying in the street, are you going down the club later? I want to see that move you do. Because I do this thing where I, like, spin on my head and then flip back.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I'd like to see that.
Well, you'll have to come up. What are you doing New Year's Eve?
I think I'm coming to your club. Is it Whispers? Rumours?
Elemental.
BBC. Six. Music.
I just said it leaves a lot of stains.
It does. It does. Yes.
They don't need to know what we mean by that.
No, I don't think they do.
It does, though. All over the kitchen side. Yeah. Thick brown stains.
She's not using it right.
She's not using
it right.
What's
she doing it with?
She's spreading it everywhere. She's not putting the top on properly.
When you dip the thing in, you get a bit of a dribble.
I don't know what she's doing. She's clumsy. She's clumsy.
I think it's almost gone far enough that we need to clear up what we're talking about. Yeah. I'm going to leave the ambiguity. People can guess. Barry Bridges. Barry Bridges was a motocross rider in the 1960s when the mud-splattered sport was a staple of Saturday afternoon grandstand. Please say hello to all members of the Facebook... Please say hello to all members of the Facebook group trying to get the recent touring promotion of Quadrophenia into the West End. Tom... One of the most specific texts any radio show has ever had.
That's very specific. I like the mud splattered. Wonderful mud splattered sport.
Yeah. Referencing a 1960s motocross rider and then mentioning a very specific Facebook group with a very specific aim. Well done to you, Tom.
I wonder whether the first bit about the motor rider person is a lie.
You think he's just saying that to back the Quadrophenia thing?
Yeah.
Tom, you slimeball. How could you use me like that?
It's very possible.
Never a Barry Bridges, question mark. Them who married King's Lynn in 1979. I have his face tattooed on my right buttock, you insensitive clod. John in St. Andrews. And entering the game to find people who aren't famous. Barack Olama suggests Tallulah Pinkgurnard. She is not famous, but I think she almost certainly is. Sort of drag act somewhere. Tallulah Pinkgurnard, yeah. Probably doing shows somewhere.
Yeah.
John, I have a friend called Chris Soper, famous in his own right, but not on Wikipedia. Is this where things changes after his mention on Six Music, Chris in Brunton, Somerset?
Yeah.
We've just set Chris Soper on the road to fame there.
I think he's going to be like the I Didn't Do It boy.
Yeah. Chris Soper featured on BBC Six Music. Now, good deeds. We've got to do these.
Yes.
You can't keep pointing
let's do them.
Off
let's
finding
do them.
People who aren't famous. John, I don't want to nominate myself for the good deed. Good start in it, that. We've had one I've gone through already, someone who gave 150 DVDs to a local hospice.
Lovely touch.
Lovely touch, isn't
That's
it?
That's lovely. Were they all DVDs they didn't really want to keep anymore?
I think so. Yeah, by nature of giving them away, I suppose.
Yeah. If they were want...
But, you know, I'm a hoarder. I've got DVDs I don't want that
really?
I'm going to keep.
What's the DVD you most don't want and you look at it and go, why have I still got that?
The Waterboy.
The Waterboy.
Yeah. I've tried
Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
I thought you meant the water horse then, which sounds great. Is that like a Loch Ness type thing?
No, I tried watching that as well. Give it 20 minutes. Yeah. Rubbish. Absolute rubbish.
I've got Bullet Boy.
Bullet Boy.
Bullet Boy. Not Bullock Boy. Bullock Boy would be... Yeah. Bullet Boy.
What's that about?
It's a sort of urban drama with someone from a band in it.
Right.
What are the bands who did the 21 Seconds to Go?
Oh, I knew you.
Famous. Yeah. So Solid Crew.
So Solid Crew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why I've got it.
Give it to a hospice.
I could do, couldn't
Give
I?
It to a hospice and you'll feel a lot better about yourself. Anyway, Alison Patterson, she says, I don't want to nominate myself, but all the people on the 106 to Finsbury Park last Wednesday. Were you on that bus?
No. I'm trying to think if I know it. I know most buses to Finsbury Park, but that one is a mystery.
I'd like to thank them for helping me after I passed out. I would especially like to thank the two women who came to my aid, the one who gave me the water, and the other one who very kindly put my legs on her shoulders. I think this was to get the blood back into my head and not because I was wearing a dress. I've never fainted before, so I don't know if that's what it was meant to do, but it seemed to work. I'd also like to thank the man who then offered to buy me some water when I got off the bus. I'd also like to apologise to anyone who I delayed on their journey to work, as I know how annoying and annoyed I get when there are delays due to a person taken ill on London Transport. I won't any longer. Thanks to everyone who looked after me. Alison Patterson. It's kind of like an open letter.
I think that's lovely.
A whole team. It is good, isn't it?
Lovely to say that as well.
Yeah, yeah. So everyone on the 106.
Everyone on the 106. There must have been someone who didn't join in.
You'd think so. There's probably one who was the reason she passed out. Someone let out a potent gust, as Alan Partridge would say.
A very ugly face.
Over the last week, a spider has spun a huge spider web. It's from Chris in Cornwall. Don't get me started. I come out of my house yesterday. I've gone out to get some food, right? Yeah. I've come back. I've been in, what, an hour? I'm nipping out to the gym. A spider in that hour has built a web across my front door. Right, from the porch. I don't know how it did it. It must have swung down from the porch, swung out, like kicking off the door, like abseilers do, landed on the railings, and built a sort of crisscross web across the door. I opened the door, nearly walked into it, screamed, obviously, dropped my bag, went back indoors, got my broom from upstairs, and sort of delicately picked the web apart with the broom. I didn't want to smash it in case it got on the broom and ran up and killed me. Obviously, that's what's going to happen. So I sort of picked it apart so that I left the strand that meant it swung out and then I knocked it away, right? And then I realised that if anyone can see me, like my neighbours, they wouldn't be able to see the spider because it was too small. So they'll have just seen me open my door, scream at the world, run back in and then sort of wave a broom in midair for about 5 minutes and then lock the door and go out again. The spiders, I don't know what their problem is.
But what you were doing there was equivalent of, like, smashing someone's windows.
Well, yeah, but
Wasn't
only
it, really, or
it is the equivalent of that if you go out and they've put plate glass windows across your living room.
Yeah, I suppose so.
I don't knock spiders' webs when they're in bushes.
I think they're like squatters.
Yeah.
Insect squatters.
Well, I do that. When I get rid of spiders now, if I do the glass over the top thing, I have a little routine where I'll go, I've warned you, you're behind with your rent, and I'll not tolerate it, and then I take them out. Oh, dear. I need to get a girlfriend. Over the last week, a spider has spun a huge web across our back door leading to the garden. Despite my arachnophobic tendencies, I followed my wife and daughter's instruction to leave the web alone. It's a problem with having family.
That's good.
I don't have that problem. Get rid of it. I have to limbo under the web every time I go to feed the fish. Brackets. Don't really like them either. The spider's now huge, and I'm terrified it will either catch me in its web or it's about to spawn a few hundred more of its kind all over our back door. As the spider is unaware of how lucky it is to still be alive and will never get to thank me for resisting my natural urge to make a big spider web candy floss and chuck it over the fence to next door, I think I deserve a dedication. Chris Beach in Cornwall.
Yeah, I agree. For not destroying the web. It was quite a lengthy story, really, for basically not killing the spider.
So this week we're going to do it on a knockout because we're a bit late. Okay. So straight away, you've got Finsbury Park bus people up against man not killing spider. Who's in the lead?
Ooh. Ooh, that's really hard. That's impossible.
Someone passed out on a bus.
Yep.
And someone
I know it
didn't
doesn't sound impossible, but I really like animals. And that includes the insect kingdom.
We've not seen Harry
They're not
Potter.
Even insects, are they? They're arachnids.
They grow massive.
Okay, actually, thinking about it, when spiders kill things, they liquidate their insides first while they're still alive. So they are evil, let's be honest. I'm going with the bus.
Good.
106.
Good. Let's rattle through these. I'd like to tell you about a good dog deed. Right. Dogs are proper animals, aren't they?
Dogs are good animals.
You got a dog?
Nope.
I was on my way to my university.
I had a few pet dogs.
I've had a few
dogs, mate, as pets.
Not at a moment.
Yep.
They keep dying. I was on my way to uni in London, where I was about to get marked for my master's degree. I was convinced I'd failed, as this year has pretty much sucked for me, says Joanna. As I walked past Hyde Park, a man called to me asking if the dog following him was mine. As I replied it wasn't, the terrier shot across the road, bearing in mind it's 8:30 in the morning, the road's heaving with Londoners. We followed the dog, who then ran across to the other side, again narrowly missing cars, and in the end my accomplice chased the dog into my arms. All ended happily. We rang the owner, who came to pick the dog up a few minutes later. It gave me a warm feeling, and I concluded that there are more important things in life than university marks. P.S. Turns out I passed my course. Some sort of karma, maybe.
Catching maybe.
Dog, finding it.
Ever so slightly smug at the end there, I thought. Slightly
smug.
I didn't really like that ending.
Slightly smug.
But no, I thought it was good to look after the dog.
Yeah.
To help a dog. Yeah.
So now it's dog versus woman on bus.
Woman on bus still.
Woman on bus
quite
still
frankly,
in the lead.
Quite right. frankly.
We're going to whittle it down to a final.
Yeah.
We had a massive long one in. I showed you. Look at the size of that. It's more of an anecdote. I'll tell you the anecdote. It's funny. Some geezer's had his bike nicked. He's angry. He's called the police. There's nothing we can do about it, son. He's taken a wheel off and a saddle, and they've stolen the rest of the bike, right? He's gone down to see his mum. She's a teacher. He's got to her school. Geezer's only stolen his bike. It's there. His bike's at the other school. He's gone, you're joking, aren't you? Geezer's stolen a saddle and a wheel off another bike, got his bike. He's gone in. He said to his mum, that's my bike. Cop has come down, cut it out. He's got the bike, giving him back the other wheel and the saddle. And he said, I don't know what to do with it. Cop has said, we can't get rid of it, mate. Pointless. More time than it's worth. He's gone back to the other school, found a geezer who's had the saddle and the wheel nicked, giving it back. He says, and you'll never guess this, geezer who's stolen his bike, only gone up to his mum afterwards and gone, here, Sam Geezer's nicked me bike. He's nicked a bike, then complained it's been nicked.
Ooh.
Wouldn't credit it, would you?
That's great.
Anyway, that was the short version.
That wasn't a good deed, was it?
That was a 12-page email. Well, no, he's implying it was a good deed that he took the saddle and the wheel back to the person because the cop
wasn't
going to
do it. Yeah, that's very good.
Shorey, male, 22, Sterling. And his name's spelt weird, so he's spelt it phonetically.
Sterling, a description of
his
him.
Description of how to say his name is like Sean Connery saying sorry.
Sorry. was that Sean? Sorry.
Yeah, you've given it a slight sort of Chinese angle there. Well, picking up on that.
I would imagine he's doing a sitcom called Sorry. Sorry.
Let's get it written.
Yeah, let's do it.
Right, deed final.
Okay.
Everyone on the 106 to Finsbury Park versus Alex Watson Kent, who says, after enjoying my last summer day recently, I ventured off the track to a forest on private land. I didn't know it was private, but there wasn't enough signage.
Right.
On my walk, found a dog in pain and bleeding, looking somewhat distressed.
Right.
I walked the dog to a house near the field and informed them. The dog, later to learn its name being Rox, was indeed that of the homeowner. The wife followed me. We called a vet. I was thanked, went about my day. It's quite a good deed, right? Coppers have only come up to him later on and tried to nick him for trespassing on private land.
Oh,
so I'm
rough justice, Your Honour.
I've put that one into the final merely because he's paid a heavy price for helping
really
a dog.
Really unfair.
So, Finsbury Park versus Alec Watts.
Oh,
I've put you under pressure now.
You have put me under pressure. So. And it certainly made me realise when people do this kind of thing on shows how horrible it must be.
I know.
For the pressure.
Imagine this is the £1 million question on who wants to be a millionaire. And
I think
I'm
the
Chris
dog,
Tarrant.
The dog has tipped over.
Dog's at it
think,
at the end.
I think I'm going for the dog.
Alex Watson.
I think the
Kent.
Dog, because, you know, he really went out of his way and it did not pay off, which again shows to me, like we were saying earlier, that evil is a better way to live. And you're more likely to achieve and be thanked for it, quite frankly.
That is
think
the...
of all the dictators that get turned into heroes.
Yes.
Unless they then
too
get
many of
revealed
them.
As dictators eventually. But...
but
the bus one
conclusion.
Was good. Mm. The bus one was very good, but that was, I think, a more natural thing you would do. Whereas the dog thing, I think he really went out of his way.
Yeah, a woman passing out on the bus, you can't really step over.
You've got
it, can you?
You can't just ignore it.
Just ding the bell. This is her stop. Shovel her out. Carry
yeah.
on. Fair enough. So the show, Carnival of Monsters,
yes.
You're doing it at the Soho Theatre in
I'm
London.
I'm doing it, yeah.
Are you taking it anywhere else? You're going, like, global with it?
Well, yes. Well, apparently we're going to Montreal, which is quite
nice.
Which is pretty cool,
isn't
it?
Exciting.
Which I've heard they've got a whole underground...
System.
Oh, yeah, they've got an underground. Where else could have such a thing? No, apparently they've got a whole city underground because it gets so cold. Again, this could be a lie, like the one about my brother on the bike. But the point is, the president of the Just for Laughs
emailed
thing
you.
Came to me. He came backstage.
And
it was very exciting. He was called Gilbert.
Come to my city. You can live under the ground.
He was great.
If it gets cold, you go in the sewers.
He wasn't. What was that? It wasn't Polish.
No, that was Franco-Canadian.
Okay, no, that was good, actually. It's very good.
I am from Montreal, eh?
He's
not it. No?
I don't know.
Do your Nottingham accent for us once. Do your Len character.
Well, Len.
Yeah. Do you want to?
Well, I am from Nottingham, but people often don't believe this because I've lived in different places and lost the Nottingham. But I find you get it by shouting, just going, "Nah, listen to me, nah, come on, nah." You just got to really, nah, no.
John Richardson on Six
Music. Now it's time for John and the Funny Man. You like that? It's Mr. Al Pitcher with me now.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well.
Stop it. Yeah, I'm all right. In a good mood, you know.
Wearing a purple shirt.
That's all right.
Not bothered, are you?
It's the day of the purple.
Are those buttons or poppers?
Poppers. And yeah, I'd normally wear a jumper over the top, and when I lean forward, you just get, you know, the casual pop.
Thing with the popper, though, you could bang that. You could get that straight out, couldn't you?
you could bang that out. Yeah, but what I love is the whole kind of. You know, sometimes, you know...
If you're a weak superhero.
If everything's gone well, I've done the dishes, I put it all away, I'll turn around the kitchen and just pop.
Yeah, all of them.
In front of my wife.
I made the mistake. Do you remember Adidas poppers, the trousers with the poppers right down the side?
Yeah.
I made the mistake of wearing those to a school non-uniform day 1 year. Spent the entire day in maths, in the playground, in the dinner hall. Suddenly Rico's boxers are on show for all of the year nines. Little surprise for them.
Yeah. Well, it's nice, though, isn't it?
I was a bit of a scally back then.
What were your silky, silky boxers, though, weren't you? You like those kind of weird, you know, with cartoon characters on.
I was probably an underpant brief man back in those days. But now, nowadays, I like a snug-fitting boxer short.
Well, I'm the same. Straight G. When I'm gigging, leopard.
Really?
Yeah, just you know. Just
gigging last night, weren't you?
I did Brighton Comedy Festival. If you were at the Brighton gig, thank you so much, because you were brilliant.
I wasn't.
No, but I'm
just... Oh, to the people.
To the people.
Fair enough. I was going to say, I was doing some stuff. But
I bumped into you, didn't I, in London town?
Yes, you did, yeah. That was weird, wasn't it?
Yeah, because you don't do that, do you?
Well, another weird thing, usually if I saw you, like, I was walking to London, you don't expect to see people, do you? It amazes me how big London is.
There's about 100
If I saw you
people.
In Leicester Square, I'd be like, oh, my God, Al Pitcher, and we'd have a hug. Literally just seen Bill Nighy. He's just walking down the street texting. Yeah. I'm not going to lie to you, Al, you were a slight anticlimax.
Well, it was weird. You were doing that whole looking over my shoulder, seeing if Nighy had come back.
I know, I kind of wanted him to come back and go, oh, we're doing Shaun of the Dead. I can't do an impression of him, obviously.
No, you can.
We're doing Shaun of the
just
Dead
not
too.
Not that good. and then I said, oh, what's he been in? And you just... And then we went for a
coffee,
a hot drink.
Chai latte.
And I bought... Yeah, now, I've got a problem with this.
Oh, do you want a receipt, mate?
No, I'll give you
the cash now. You offered.
I've got a real problem with this. I kind of thought, you know, I'm a bit exotic, right? I'll go chai latte.
Yeah.
And then you followed. I don't like people that are that.
I already decided I was going chai latte.
No, I don't like that when people go, oh, they're the same as you. And I'm like, well, chai latte's mine, mate.
But you had a chai latte. I wanted a chai latte. Are you arguing with my wording? Should I have gone, oh, I'll have a chai latte, just so they go, oh, he's having a chai latte. I go, oh, God, I didn't realise.
You should have to act now,
just
yes.
So we can have a drink together.
Yeah.
I wanted a chai latte.
Fair enough.
Russell's the same as this. I was having this argument with Lloyd Langford as well this week.
Yeah.
We went for a meal. And if I order something, I'm not bothered. What I want, I'm having it. But if someone else has ordered it, I ain't bothered. But they'll go, oh, well, I can't have chili con carne now. Of course you can.
No, you can't. Those people have put down the marker.
No.
They've gone, right, that's mine, border. They put a little wall round, that's what I'm having.
If the world ran on your rules, it would be a race to order. You'd get straight in and go, oh, no, American hot pizza, 9-inch, la-la-la, dibs, no one else can have that.
Yeah, but you have that whole thing as well when you should be able to look over, you're having your food and going, oh, yours is not as good as mine. But when it's the same...
Yeah, then we can both go, oh, this is nice, isn't it? Both just having what we want, like grown-ups.
Yeah, but on the flip side of that, oh, both rubbish. Why do I always...
So let's say you're down there for a three-course meal with drinks. Nothing can overlap.
No.
I'm having the soup for starter. You've got to have the garlic mushrooms.
Yeah, if I've got...
What if we both want a Diet Coke? Is that all right?
Yeah, as long as you have ice.
Let's talk tours and photos and things like that, because the tour's going really well, isn't it?
I'm really chuffed. Yeah, I'm very lucky.
Because we should explain, for people who've come late to the picture thing, you take a picture for us each week and we pick a track to go with it.
Yeah.
Pick some sort of musical wallpaper for your photos. But generally, this has come from a tour you do where you arrive at the venue that you're touring in early.
Yeah.
You take photos around that city.
Yeah.
And then you do the show that night based around what you see.
Based on the photos, yeah.
Which is a great idea.
Yeah, it's really... and what's great is you do it all around the world and you go, what's it like here in Sydney? And they go, oh, brilliant, mate. Love it. Love it. And then you go, oh, what's sweet. And
yeah, we love it
like that. And then you come here,
yeah, weird audience,
anywhere you do a gig in the UK, it's like, it's rubbish. We, you know, so it is a joyful show. It's about showing that where you live's great, and people get really involved. It kind of has this, opens up their head a bit where they can just shout nonsense out. I've really been happy with it.
You said last night's show was one of your favorites. That was a session, by the way, the X-Ray Specs.
A session?
Yeah, it was recorded live for John Peel on Radio 1 on the 6th of November,
1988.
Ooh, 10 years out.
That's what I said, 98. So I am 10 years out, yeah.
1978. Okay. GM-free adolescence. I should have played Me Little Noise. But...
I'm quite good at cheating stuff like that. And like, you know, when I'm playing board games and stuff like that.
And when you're taking photos for a feature on a radio
show. No, I'm not. It's not even a can of worms. It's a skip of worms I've opened there.
Right.
I'm having people, like, mailing me and stuff like that and really having a go.
Well, it was a it was just unnecessary, wasn't it, Al?
Well, but the weird thing is I've had quite a few private kind of emails. Like, they're not normally private. And I've just had
sex
people...
Sex mails.
No, I've just had people saying, we're on your side, mate. We're on your side.
No, you haven't.
I've had a lawyer involved.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's his name?
And that was about a marriage before. But
what's his name?
What's his name?
Yeah.
Ronald Richardson. I so panicked then. That's really weird. I really didn't mean to say Richardson. And then I looked at you and thought, yeah, that'd be a good name.
Yeah, I'm like Darren Brown, mate. I'll just make you think it.
Oh, wow, that was amazing.
Ronald Richardson was my granddad's name. He wasn't a liar. We played a game with Colin Hull earlier where you have to think of a name of someone who isn't known on Google. So, like, doesn't have a Wikipedia page or something.
Okay. It's
very difficult. Think of a name of someone who isn't famous.
Paul Hewson.
Paul Hewson. How are you spelling Hewson?
H-E-W-S-O-N.
Right. I think you've gone for an outlandish surname now. I think that's almost veto. It's like saying Gary Fish.
Not famous. Not coming up anyway.
Really. See, told you, didn't I?
Yeah, fun game, that, wasn't it?
But he is famous.
Fun game,
it's
that.
It's Bono's real name.
You've done radio before.
It's Bono's real
is
name.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's clever.
Yeah, see what I've done?
Oh, you've tricked me.
Yeah.
You made me look like an idiot.
Do you want another one?
Sure.
Reg Dwight.
Oh, I know that one. That's Barry Manilow.
Is it?
It's not. Elton John?
Elton John.
Yeah. Barry Manilow's just... real name is Sandra...
Ronald.
What's the favourite show you've done on this? Because you've been everywhere, haven't you? I said earlier we talked to you in India and
India was incredible.
Yeah.
The thing with India, and I don't know if you've ever been, but you see something, honestly, like you see something and you go, I'll never see that again. And then half an hour later,
I can show you something you'll never see again now.
Then I want to see it half an hour later. It's absolutely brilliant, you know, and I was blown away. You know, people say...
Strong winds out there.
It changed my world. That's how they say it, don't they? It changed my world.
They don't all say it like that.
No, but I was really blown away, and it's a fantastic place. I did it in Sweden as well, because I live in Sweden now, and the hometown
of Stockholm. Is that Swedish then?
Yeah,
I didn't understand what you said
as well. If you ever want
that's
to.
A hollow gesture, isn't it? That it's not like me saying, oh, you can pop round. You know, that's like you going, oh, just be going to pop round.
No,
to Sweden,
there'll be a few rules set down.
What are they? Am I allowed to eat what you... What if your wife cooks dinner and I want what you want?
Why would she cook dinner? Maybe I can cook.
Because you've been out cutting wood or whatever you do in Sweden. Speaking with the locals. Hello, Al. How's the pizza show going?
Wow.
That's the guy who's moved there from Newcastle. All right, mate. Stockholm's cool, isn't it?
They're brilliant. The Swedish people are absolutely amazing. Beautiful as well. Everybody's beautiful. I really stand out, kind of. Not that they don't just stand and point, but they're kind of... I am kind of...
Look at that. What do you think it is? It's not a person.
Yeah, well, if there are Swedish people listening, that is not me doing that voice. I'll make front page over there on Aftonbladet or something like that.
Did you?
No, I will after this.
Oh, after this?
Yeah.
Comedian Chuck.
Comedian Jordy Chuck. I can't, I don't want to even mimic you.
So in a home situation, I've got to eat what you eat. So, like, if your wife's cooked, let's say she's cooked a lovely prawn vindaloo.
Oh, no,
and
no,
I go,
no.
I'm having the prawn vindaloo. You go, oh, sorry, love, you're going to have to go and cook Toad in the Hole now because I can't have what he's having.
You've just gone from the Championship to the Premiership here. You're in a different league. if you're served it, like when I was inside, right? They, I've done time. For a crime I didn't do. But they basically give
if you're listening, Ireland, that wasn't me doing that voice.
There's only about four countries left. So yeah, if they serve it up, you eat what you eat what you get. But if you're going out and I'm going, right, I'll have a chai latte, I do not expect anybody near me to say, I'll have the same as him.
What if there's someone in front of you in the queue but you don't know them and they have a chai latte?
No.
What are you having?
Doesn't matter.
You'll have a chai latte?
I have a chai latte, yeah. But if I'm knowing...
But what if the cashier thinks you're with them?
I've never looked into it that much.
Would you clear it up? Just go, I want a chai latte, but I'm not with this loser.
I'd probably gouge them in the eye and just move forward. It's me with a chai latte. Or when they put it on the thing, you know, that's a random thing, isn't it, where you're around the little wooden table and they say, chai latte, and everyone's ordered chai latte, and there's about eight hands.
Oh, I suppose that, if you'd have put that argument earlier, I could see your point, that that's going to cause confusion.
Oh, I didn't put that in.
No, you've already lost the argument. Unlucky, mate. 1-0. Ooh.
That's what Ronald said to me to do as well.
Where's Ronald from?
He lives near Lancaster, but he's from the Lake District, anyway.
Is he?
Yeah.
Let's get Matt Ford's view on sharing food, because I imagine his view that is just order one of each, and then it's not a problem. We are in a restaurant, you and I.
Yep.
You've decided that you want... What do you want? Italian restaurant is.
Spaghetti
bolognese.
Spaghetti bolognese, right?
Bruschetta to start.
Waitress comes over, bruschetta, kicking her.
Yeah.
She says, what do you want? You say, ladies first, because that's your joke, isn't it?
I say, bruschetta, please.
No. You say, bruschetta, mate. That. Pay the lady some respect.
Yeah.
I'm ordering first.
Yeah, so say...
I say, I'm having the spag bol, please.
Yeah.
But you're having the spag bol.
Yeah.
So when she says to you, what do you want, what do you say?
I'll say, I'm having the spag bol as well.
See? How easy it is.
What's up with your face? What's wrong with that?
Al would change
what's
his
wrong
order.
With my face.
You're looking at me
what
like
an
I've
incredibly
done some...
rude thing to say on radio.
It's not like you were smiling. You were pulling
no,
some
you sound
weird
like
grimace.
The Swedish public.
No, I.
What's wrong with your face?
You look like you'd sat on something.
When someone ordered, when you go out, someone should have enough nous, right?
Go on.
To pick something else. As soon as I've gone spag bol, it's off. It's off limits, right? It's gone. It's like...
Mate, you're like a girl. Head. You're a girl. Oh, I can't wear the same handbag as Shanice.
Unpop your shirt. I'll show him you're not a girl.
Whoa! Crikey. It's like a massive Brillo pad.
Was that a
big ginger
noise?
Brillo pad.
Oh, no,
full Monty.
That was lovely. Terrible. I've never done that. This isn't... Why did I do that?
Because I told you to.
I'm so full of peer pressure, you know?
Here, drink that.
Okay. What have you... I am. I'm literally, when I grew up, it was like, go on, stroke the weird cat, stroke the weird cat.
Is that what they called you?
The cat began, and I'd go, it's bit me. I don't know. I'm sorry about that. I
looked good, though.
It did, yeah.
It's
but
dramatic.
Yeah, well, obviously the meal thing's not going to be sorted between you.
And I've said that, I think you're coming from a thing that you want to just maybe have a little forkful of the other person's.
Mm.
Yeah? Why don't you just order what you want and eat that instead of fiddling around with my dish? By the way, though, if you're not going to finish that, I will help you out. So that's a separate issue. That's a different part of the debate. It's moved on at that point when you're dealing with leftovers.
Yeah, but you're not losing your argument there, because even if we'd order the same thing and I didn't finish, you'd still finish my spag bol, wouldn't you?
Yeah, of course I would. I love spag bol. Why I ordered it.
Is there anything that I kind of have, I'll bend the rules for, is... may contain nuts if people... There might not be a lot of meals on there that...
So, say you're eating with Ford, who, as we know, has a nut allergy. You're ordering first. You're going to order satay chicken to make sure there's no crossover.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Fair enough.
Well done.
I'm just not as random as I look, you know?
What do you mean? How do you look random? You haven't got, like, a purple face.
Got a purple shirt.
Purple shirt on.
Yeah.
Yeah. 1-0.
But you bought
what
it.
What are you doing, Al, in the future? All right, just got bored of that conversation really quickly.
It was the most aggressive tarot I've ever.
Well, I'm aware you have to go for
another.
What
are you doing in the future? I don't know. I've paid you.
You have to go to a show now, don't you?
Yes.
And then you're on tour. Thought you might have.
I'm all over the UK, and please do come to my show. And you can join me on Facebook or something like that. I can't get cut off.
Yeah, you can. I can just fade your mic down like that.
Don't even think about touching mine. And I'm not the boss here. I'm caught in a crossfire.
Okay, come here to. Oh, it's back on.
Yeah. All over the place.
Like,
the other thing I can do is this: try and plug your Facebook site.
Facebook site is. .com. So come along. I'm doing the Bloomsbury as well. I'm doing Manchester Dance House, but the good thing about the Bloomsbury is I've just left the door ajar,
right,
for Matt Ford to walk through, right?
Oh,
because I'm looking for a kind of a different support act, someone that can
Fairly
spice
dance.
It up, the chai latte of the comedy world,
yeah.
Right? And he's actually on a heavy pencil at the moment. He's not confirmed. But I want him. He's a loose cannon. You see,
he is.
So I don't know what he's going to do. You know, I don't. If he's had a few drinks beforehand, it could go erratic. I've seen it. I've seen him. You know, I remember in the late 80s, St. Helens, he fell off the stage, went into the orchestra pit. I can't
smashed
be doing
it
with
pieces.
That.
I wasn't proud. But that was all I knew. Do you know what I mean? That's all I know. Growing up.
He's on a light pencil. So thank you so much for having me on again.
Thanks for coming in, Life.
Yeah.
It's always a pleasure having you in.
Lovely to see you.
The door here is always ajar for you. I mean, obviously, we can't keep the door ajar because it's a studio, so that wouldn't work sound quality-wise. But metaphorically, the door's wedged open with a bin, and you can just come in anytime you want. And if Sweden's having a pop at your face, Swindon will be proud to say, I think you look quite nice. Need a bit of a shave, but you look all right there, mate.
Yeah, man.
Let's find out what happened then, shall we?
Well, indeed. Did I or didn't I meet David Cameron and ask him a few questions? Here, Britain is the evidence.
Why are you talking like that now?
I'm just trying to make it sound all dramatic.
Okay, fair enough.
Are we going to have to do that again?
Okay.
Here is the final evidence.
Do I do it without the big laugh?
Here is the evidence.
Well, say it like you mean it.
Here's the evidence. I'm here in Manchester talking to the leader of the Conservative Party, David Cameron, ahead of his party's conference here this week. David, thank you for giving me your time.
Safe.
Have you had a good day?
I got an email from a lady.
Really? Who?
It was you.
What?
It's not funny.
No, you're right. David, we're on Six Music, so I have to ask you a few music-based questions. Who are your favourite band?
The Police.
And favourite Michael Jackson single?
Bad.
OK, now you're saying, as well as manage the Conservative Party, you also want to manage a
children's football team.
Right. Seems a little strange. Do you have any tactical nous? I mean, what are you going to teach these kids?
Protect, to promote and defend.
Impressive. And have you got any sort of transfer kitty to buy new players?
Over £170 billion. Pounds.
Wow. And after that, you want to manage
England in the World Cup.
Right.
I don't live in some fantasy land.
How are you going to win?
Improve training.
Anything else?
Time wasting.
Now, last week you went round to Thingy's house.
Gordon Brown.
What did you do?
We sat watching TV with blankets wrapped around us.
What did you watch? The Bill?
We don't bother watching police dramas on television.
All right. So what's your favourite TV show?
Casualty.
Now, I've heard that the two of you are working on a project to bring the two parties close together, and it's going to be in the form of a panto ready for this Christmas. You're adapting Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, giving it a modern feel. What's it going to be called?
The Drug Dealer and the Druggies.
And just to finish off, I'm quite a fan of food, so I'd like to see how much we've got in common here. What sauce would you put on a bacon cob?
Brown.
Me too. What sort do you use?
It is organic.
OK. So let's say you've got a block of cheddar. What do you have with it?
Pickles.
And what's the best time to have such a snack?
In the middle of the night.
I agree. Now, the thing is, I cook a lot of stuff and then it gets left over. What's the best thing to do with it?
Freeze it for a parliament.
Why, that long? Right. I feel like we've got to know each other a lot better now. Would you say that we were friends for life?
The lifeblood.
Big finish.
Is there no one you can't get?
No.
What was it like being face-to-face with him?
It was unbelievable, you know. It was almost like he was talking to a load of other people at the same time. very special, yeah, and as with Gordon, I've got to say, both Gordon and David got with them very well, and I'm very
grateful. It sounds like it.
I know they're both listening now, so it's a bit awkward.
Yeah.
You know.
Well done. Well done indeed.
I'm going to get someone else next week.
Well, I'm starting to think there's no one you can't get.
You're starting to understand.
I'm at a loss to suggest anyone. I mean, obviously, you failed on Barak in the past, but that might take some time to get together. But I'd trust your hands, mate. Get me someone amazing. I don't normally listen to the show live, but this morning I'm up early preparing for an ocean swimming race.
Oh, wow.
That I'm doing this morning. When Fordy initially said he was doing the London Marathon, I emailed in being encouraging and supporting.
Cheers, mate.
But for 3 weeks, he hasn't started training. Fordy now needs strong emotional support, or as I call it, a big kick up the bum. Fordy, you don't need a gym to train for a marathon. You need shoes and a pavement. Get your feet on the street and start running. Weak excuses about gym membership will not be tolerated next week. All the best, Richard in Bermuda.
Well, listen here, Richard. You seem to forget that before the summer, I was running regularly. So I did do some running. I need to shift a bit of weight.
Yeah,
before
if you run, that will happen.
Yeah, but it's getting cold. I want to be indoors in a controlled environment. I could run and run and run and run like a little hamster on a wheel. Well, just stand there and do it. So I'm going to get away of cars and idiots. And I don't want people to see me running.
So
I feel like an idiot. I feel like I'm betraying myself in some way. Not in being fit and healthy, obviously. But
you don't want to have to dodge people.
Because people make all sorts of assumptions about you, like I do about cyclists. They're going to think stuff about me, aren't they? They're looking at me, little do-gooder. Bet he recycles.
Yeah, nothing wrong with being
and I do
seen
recycle. There's nothing wrong with it, but people are going to make, I don't want people to think that I'm not the sort of guy I am. I think I should run around with just like all the things I represent on it, so like a big Oasis print, Cluffy, and a few other things, and a bit like past it, so that people know he's not just a runner; he's a real bloke who's having to do running for some reason.
Are you doing any this week? You say you're joining the gym this week.
Joining the gym this week.
What day?
Somewhere between Monday and Friday.
Right. Let's just make it Monday. Let's just decide now. Proactive.
Could be, but I'm joining with a couple of people, you see, so it has to be when...
Workmates?
Yeah.
So you see him at work?
Yeah.
On Monday?
Yeah.
So you go and do it on Monday?
I hope so, yeah. By this time next week, I will be, should be a member of a gym. I'll be a member of a gym this time next week.
John Richardson. BBC Six Music.
Okay, hope you enjoyed the podcast. Thanks for listening. Next week, more guests, more challenges from 4D. Kerry Godleman live in the studio.
Ledge.
Of hometime fame.
She's quality.
She, to give you a little tease, last time she was on the show, had never seen Labyrinth. She has now.
Oh.
We'll find out the verdict next week. If you have anything you want us to discuss or you want to send in your pod jokes, johnrichardson.sixmusic@bbc.co.uk. That email's active all week. Get us any time. Here's the punchlines.
I haven't been able to figure these. I genuinely
not
get excited
either.
Now.
I don't know which one to headline with. It's really difficult. It's really difficult because I've got it wrong in the past and you've gone mental, don't you?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Carl's one first.
Okay, go on.
How do you offer a cigarette to a sexually excited cloth maker?
Go on.
Sig, horny weaver.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
That is.
It's good stuff, isn't it? Oh, now I think I should have headlined with that one.
That has blown my mind.
Oh.
And I really fancy Sigourney Weaver as well.
BBC, we should say you shouldn't offer anyone a cigarette.
Or really address someone by their sort of sexual appearance and.
Yeah, trade.
Yeah.
That'd be like saying. Ginsters, Randy DJ. okay, Chris, some pressure on you now, I'm afraid. This was never meant to happen, but that one's ripped it. So here we go. What do you call a man with an insect on his back?
Okay.
Anton Dubek. Anton Dubek. No. Oh, I've got it wrong again.
Yeah.
I picked the wrong one to headline with again.
I wouldn't have even put that in the final two.
No?
I get it.
He put in another one. Put in another one.
Oh, go on, then.
See if he can pull it round.
Oh, look at him. Last minute. Oh. Here he comes. The ball's in the box. The whistle is in the mouth.
What was the best time for basketball?
Go on.
The Shaq era.
Awful. Shaq-era. Misses it.
Oh, no.
Knocks out.
Rebound.
Richardson is out. And he hangs his head in shame.
Oh, God. Sorry.
Mate,
sorry. Well done to Carl, though.
Excellent.
Unfollowable.
Sick-horny
unfollowable. Movie. More of those next week.
You know, sometimes...
I feel like it's ended on a downer now. Yeah,
no, because Sigourney Weaver's so good, that's still carrying
but
on.
But I thought that was too
don't
sort of...
It.
Too far removed.
I can still smell it. It doesn't matter.
Oh.
The Weaver thing's still hanging around.
Yeah? All right.
Yeah, you know when you hear something and it flicks the switch in your mouth? I feel like someone has just opened up like a new level of understanding of comedy in my mind.
Oh, you can't make it yogic. You've gone up to another thought
Sigourney
level.
Sigourney Weaver. It's brilliant.
I like the fact that what he's done is he has taken the pod joke on, because it wasn't a setup with a what do you call it, it was a how do you,
yeah.
You know, so Maybe listeners will be equally inspired, and next week we'll have a whole new take on the celebrity pod joke cancer.
Well done.
Challenge has been laid down. Thanks for downloading. It's a pleasure talking to you, and we will see you again next week.
And you.
Bye.
Bye.
BBC Six Music Podcasts. If you like John Richardson, try the Adam and Joe podcast. Download for free at bbc.co.uk/sixmusic.